I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Frank and Reiko, I am so excited to have you on the Be You, Find Happy podcast. You guys are doing incredible things with sound, music, all sorts of amazing stuff. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about who you each are and how you kind of got where you are today?
Of course. First of all, thank you so much for having us today.
Frank,
you want to go first?
Well, I'll go first and quick, and then you can fill in the gaps.
Okay.
We worked together as songwriters and composers, and we put together this series called Gratitude, which is basically a short introduction to meditation. It includes music. It includes Reiko's beautiful voice. It includes inspiring words and some visual images that bring us in touch with those elements of everyday experience that we can be grateful for. So we got, that's what our program is. And we've been doing that for about a year, a little over. And, Reiko, why don't you explain a little bit more?
Yeah. Well, we realize how important role the music plays in our lives. And we, it all started when Frank took a trip to Nile River. And to make a long story short, he started messaging me with all that overwhelming thoughts that came to his heart with just being there and, you know, seeing the how people just live so simply, yet, you know, everything so much came out from there. And he came home with a bunch of words, inspiring words, and we put all the music together with the words that he wrote down. And we made this gratitude theory, a series where we guide people into meditation with music, both energetic and relaxing, energetic for the morning and relaxing for the nighttime. And it works for us. So we knew that it will work for everybody, even though you are, you know, they are kind of getting into learning how to meditate and everything. So that's how we started with this musical journey with gratitude, meditation stuff.
We knew that there was a mystery about meditation. Some people say, you know, I can't meditate. Other people seem to have no trouble. And there's, as I say, a little bit of uncertainty about what meditation really is. So we designed this as a very gentle first step for people that are interested in meditation to experience perhaps a bit of its relaxing effects. These are short 6, 7, 8 minute little vignettes. As I say, they have visual components. They are musical. They have some interesting sound arrangements. Our collaborator on this program is a fellow by the name of Alex Wan. And a couple of years ago, he won a Grammy for his work in what's called microtonal arrangement. And so some of these pieces have a unique kind of a sound to them that you can barely discern, but that's very engaging to the mind. So this is the starting point for what we do. And we've gotten good response to it. People seem to like this kind of gentle introduction. As I say, it's great for people who say, oh, I can't meditate. It's surprising because you can land right in the middle of it without knowing.
You know, as you guys are talking, I'm just kind of reflecting on how I've, you know, been doing meditation for a long, 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 long time now. And I've learned over the years, all of these different amazing ways in which you can meditate. I mean, even food, even eating can be meditative if you're, you know, showing up to it with some sort of cognitive awareness for the process and being grateful for the food and things like that. So I love that you're tying the gratitude component into the meditation because, you know, when I first started kind of doing meditative practices, there was always music involved. It was just easier for me to get into a more peaceful and calm space. And there was also usually nature involved in some way, you know, where I was, if not music, I was sitting out, you know, by a babbling brook or by the river, looking and noticing and taking in, you know, kind of just the gloriousness of the surroundings and that sort of thing. But I really feel strongly that gratitude is such an important component to meditation. And I think that's gotten kind of lost. You know, if we show up in a way for meditation where we're starting with an intention of being grateful for something, it really just shifts the dynamic in which we enter into that space. And I think it really helps us calm the mind a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a great little way to kind of sneak up on it when you focus on these basic elements of life, that we can breathe in the air and we can see the water and we can walk to where we want to get.
Right.
Those are very basic things, and it's such a great access point.
Right.
Well, you know, the other component that I really find fascinating is I've been learning a lot lately about different tonality and how everything on the planet has a vibration. It has a frequency. And, you know, how I even had a podcast guest recently that was talking about the fact that each one of us as humans has our own song, our own uniqueness in our vibration, our frequency. So I love that you're picking up on that and kind of bringing that to the forefront. I'm deaf to communication in one ear. So I can hear really high pitch and very low pitch in one ear, but I cannot hear language at all. And, in the other ear, I can. So it's interesting how I can pick up on frequencies that people can't hear. You know, they'll say, I'll say, do you hear that? And they're like, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh gosh, it's like a really low pitch, like a rumble. You know, no, don't hear it. So it seems like my high and low have like a bigger breadth or awareness or something. You know, intuitive, because I don't have the middle range in one ear.
It's interesting because one of the things that suggests is that people can expand that as you listen closely to music and really get inside it. You can enrich your understanding of different tonality and its impact. Just like
I really think that's a true statement. I mean, I see it mostly as frustrating, but because, you know, I'll be hearing the high whiz of a fan blade and no one else can hear it. I'm like, it's so annoying. I don't hear it. You know?
It's that old story about the musicians with perfect pitch who listen to the fan blade and they're just so annoyed by it because it's slightly out of sync. Have you experienced that?
Is that true? I've never heard that before. So that's an actual thing? I thought I was the only one. I'm so irritated by fans, and that's crazy. I didn't even know this was a thing. So musicians that have a certain range of pitch can hear this too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm known to have a perfect pitch, and I just, I do have massive annoyance when I am either, with a professionally said, recently, I got to sing with an amazing vocalist, all six of them live at, it's for a Disney project. And, it was us just, you know, going with the microphone at Disney studio with everybody facing the microphone together, six of us singing. And, everybody had a perfect pitch. So it was amazing. But there were other times where I am working with other vocalists where I can hear, just a slight, reflat or sharp. And it's just, to me, I guess I argue with the producer sometimes because, you know, I hear a certain, off sound or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
That most, you know, most people do not hear. So yes, I feel you on. Feel you there. I get it.
I thought I was like the only person on the planet that was so annoyed by this. It's just funny and no one else can hear it. And I'm like, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And like, turn off the fan, just turn it off. I don't, that's unbelievable. Well, I'm glad to know, I kind of always thought that, so I play bass guitar and I've never had any any kind of formal instruction, really, a couple handful of vocal lessons in my life, but I play by ear. So that's, it's interesting, because, you know, being half deaf, you would think that I wouldn't be able to play by ear, but that's like, it's very natural to me to hear something and then play it.
Yeah. In a way, I think you have a lot more focus because of the, you don't hear, you know,
distractions.
Yes.
That's wild. You know, this kind of just brings up the point of to kind of tie it back into gratitude. It's like, you know, even our ailments or our, you know, uniqueness or our, you know, little discrepancies can be gifts in our life, depending on how we look at them and how we kind of approach them, which is a neat concept. You know, that's a neat idea.
Right? Just think of how that can focus in your case to play the guitar, or as I say, in the course of listening to gratitude meditation or other meditation programs, you gradually enrich your ability to hear that. You start to feel it. Speaking of bass guitar, it's an instrument that you feel as the vibrations as much as hear. So
very much so.
There's certainly a path there that's very rich for people to proceed on. And whether you're a student of music or a casual listener, there's really an opportunity. And that's what we tried to do, was to open the door to that, make a simple access point for people to get involved.
You know, right. And Reiko, as you were talking earlier, I was even reflecting on my son is he hates to admit this, but he is an incredible beatboxer. So he learned it on his own at a very young age, like around 2. He just started kind of making those noises with his mouth. And since then, we've gone to see some of the more well-known a cappella groups. And I mean, it is really incredible how, you know, you can almost create these musical instruments with your mouth and create an entire piece with, you know, just a handful of voices. It's right. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's really incredible.
For sure. You know, when people ask me, what is your main instruments, I said my voice, because I really believe the voice is an instrument. And like your son, I mean, that is the most gifted thing that first, you know, he started doing that when he was 2, just like I started playing piano all by my ear around that age. And I think my parents got me a teacher when I was like 4 or 5, but it was, bless your heart for expanding his gift, that God-given gift that he got, and, you know, bringing him to a, you know, a higher level. I mean, that is a really, really good parenting.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
he
really...
gets shy about it. He's you know, he's not a very outgoing kind of personality, so he gets shy about beatboxing, but when he does it, people are like, "What? Wow."
Oh my goodness. You know? That's great.
You know, Reiko, it would be great if you could tell a story about your being a little older than that and first being introduced to music in a very unique way.
Yeah.
Hear that.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, my parents saw something in me, I guess, just like you saw something in your son, that my mom especially got me a piano teacher, and she was a very, now I know she was a very progressive female Japanese piano teacher. I grew up in Tokyo, Japan, and, so she started coming to my house, you know, typically like, you know, teaching me how to play the piano by Hanon and, you know, this, you know, street music. And I one day threw a tantrums because I wanted to play outside and I just wanted to be with my friends. And I'm like 5 years old. And, you know, I said, "You're fired. You're never going to come back here. You know, I don't want to ever see your face," and all that stuff. And then,
oh, wow.
She said, "Okay. That's good. You know, let's go burn all this sheet music and text, in your backyard." And I'm like, "Wow, you are actually a cool piano teacher." So we went to our backyard and we sure enough burnt all the sheet music and text and everything. And we went back to the room and she said, "Okay, so we're going to play a game instead." So I'm like, "Okay, I love games." So she said, "Okay, so I'm going to start playing chords. You're going to turn around and start naming all the chords that I play." And I did that. We did that for like 2 weeks. And then she said, "Okay, now you come to the piano and face the piano. Okay, now you're going to start playing your mother." And I said, "My mother." And she said, yes, whatever you feel, whatever comes to your mind, with all the chords that you listen to, I want you to compose your mother. And
wow.
without skipping a beat, I composed from the verse, pre-chorus, chorus, and intro, outro, everything, and I played my mother. That was my first composition when I was about 5.
That's unbelievable. Wow, Frank. Frank, how did you get into music?
I don't have a story like that, I'm sorry to say. My
wow.
only connection is that I went to Berkeley, but unfortunately not the music school. I went to the other one. So that's my connection there.
Wow, yeah. that's still incredible. I'm always so enamored by people who have been able to take something as beautiful as music and make a career of it. That's just really spectacular. I mean, I just find that to be, I just think it's such a special, cool thing that a lot of people, you know, don't. They kind of get stuck in this idea that, oh, I have to go be an accountant or I have to go do this or that. So it's so neat that you guys, you know, were able to take these gifts and really make a career out of them.
Yeah, it's really a blessing to be recognized with our gifts. And, you know, it's really like I am very grateful to have Frank as a team member because the most problem that I have is the words. The words come last to my brain, and he is such an amazing lyricist. And you know,
wow.
Yeah, that's
so Frank comes up with all the words. He develops all the gratitude component of it.
Yes,
Yeah,
he starts with it, and then he also puts music, so we collaborate on every area, and so that's how I really believe that collaboration and teamwork is really, really important, because I'm from Japan, he grew up here, and then like we have so many different like people from all over the world or states where they can bring in a lot of different nuances that each of us don't have into one project, then it just becomes this magical piece.
Oh, I bet. And so, Reiko, can people still download or listen to the composition you did of your mom?
No, my gosh, I can still play it, but I never like recorded it professionally. It was like so long ago.
Wow. That would be kind of a neat project for the two of you, though. Imagine,
oh, I know,
like,
right?
Coming back to it now as, as a grown woman and reflecting back on that and the relationship between you and your mom and tying in the gratitude component. I mean, that would be huge.
Wow. Yeah. I was 5 and, I can totally remember what I wrote. So, yeah. Hey, thank you for the idea.
That's like the psychotherapy side of me, right? Is always like turn some story into some healing project or something.
Oh, wow.
Probably set in there.
That's amazing. So how can people participate in, I wanted to ask you guys, have you heard of Peter B. Helland? Are you familiar with him?
No, not.
I don't think so.
Who's that?
He's a musician and he does a lot of meditative music as well.
Mm.
Okay.
He's pretty incredible. I spend a lot of my time in the sauna doing my meditations and I usually put on his stuff. So I'd love to put on your guys' stuff. Where can people get this? Where can they find out
yes,
more?
It's at gratitudevideo.com.
Oh, wow. And is it like a subscription-based service or how does that work?
Well, it's a free service. We did this not to make a buck, but to offer it as a little contribution to people. So you can download some of the episodes of the podcast and offer suggestions for what else you'd like to hear and listen to the ones we have as we publish them. We have some in process on animals and actually some on sleep and some other areas that we haven't gotten to do yet, but they're out there.
Wow, that's really incredible. I love the sleep component because, so many people these days struggle with insomnia and just, different areas of not being able to kind of find that peaceful place of shutting down the mind at the end of the day. And one of the things that I recommend is that people do consider,
do consider it gratitude in the evening. I actually do a 5-minute gratitude reflection journal. So just something I'm grateful for from the day. So I think that's a really neat, a neat tie-in there.
Yeah. My friend really turned me on to that.
Mm-hmm. As Reiko said earlier, the structure of the gratitude series is to have one in the morning that's energizing and kind of wakes you up and gets going for the day. And then at the end of the day, one that's relaxing, same musical theme, same basic idea, but one that's framed in a more relaxing way, and to tie in a journal of gratitude and things that you're grateful for. Boy, that's just puts the cherry on top of the ice cream.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I really feel like, and we've had, you know, kind of gratitude experts on this podcast and that sort of thing, but I really do feel like gratitude isn't a choice. It's a responsibility that we all have to each other and to the way that we show up in the world. I really feel like it's such an important component because, you know, truly our perspective on events and experiences in life can be completely shifted by the way in which we approach them from a gratitude standpoint or lack thereof.
That is true. That is so true.
I like what you said. It's a responsibility because think of how it reframes even the most basic mundane moments in life. Shift your and take control of your own thinking, and what a great way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I often tell people, you know, you can get frustrated and angry that you're behind a slow car, or you can say, wow, this is a great opportunity for me to get to, you know, be more aware of the nature around me, or, you know, whatever, have a little extra time to listen to this podcast that I've been wanting to listen to or whatever. And, you know, shifting in that way, can take negative experiences and turn them into something that becomes something you're grateful for. And, you know, I understand, you know, that not all tragedies start that way. Like, I think, you know, anytime that we have something that, you know, we feel is painful and this and that, there's just a process of accepting that it's painful and it's part of the human experience. But then getting to that place where you can say, I'm grateful that I had this time.
Honestly, folks, I don't know what to tell you. This was such a phenomenal episode with Frank and Reiko, and I'm sure that you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed talking with them. I am not sure what happens sometimes in the crazy world of all things technology, and unfortunately, we lost the absolute best part of this podcast, which was the very end, where we really kind of started to dive deep into the concepts of gratitude and meditation. But here's what I can promise you. Frank and Reiko will absolutely be back. Make sure you look for the new podcast, But Why, where we ask all sorts of questions and go a little bit deeper on things that maybe you thought you knew. Enjoy this beautiful clip that Frank and Reiko provided as part of this wonderful Thanksgiving special, all focused on gratitude. I hope you enjoy this beautiful piece, and perhaps that's why it cut out to begin with, so that we could all have a moment of silence and just enjoy this beautiful music. Thanks for tuning in. I hope your Thanksgiving is filled with gratitude, love, peace, and joy. Starting
free in what I say. More fortunate than many, I recall this throughout my day.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.